This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Parents of gender-diverse children provide peer support to parents and to those parenting trans and gender-diverse children around Australia.
In October of this year, parents of gender-diverse children began working in South Australia, with mothers Sam and Georgia creating networks and pathways, not just for parents to find information they need to support their children, but to help provide greater support and communication across the whole of South Australia's trans and gender-diverse support services.
Sam and Georgia join us now on The Informer. Tell us, how did parents of gender-diverse children South Australia come about?
So for around 12 months, we've had a support group up and running, and it just sort of didn't really fall under any banner. We're just sort of getting people together and connecting the community. And in that time, we had been linking in with parents of gender-diverse children in Victoria, talking about how we could bring that name to South Australia, because I think the whole point is that we want parents, when they're looking for support, to be able to just think of a name and know where to go. And I think having that linked across all of the states is going to be the best way to do it, rather than having different groups in each state. And so that was the idea of connecting with those guys, and they're doing fantastic things in Victoria, so we definitely wanted to learn from them and continue the work they're doing over here. That's sort of how it came about. It's a long-term thing, just in looking at how we best do that. Do we operate under the Victorian thing as just a sub-branch, or do we operate here on our own? But basically the decision was made, and here we are now, up and running finally, so it's good.
So what are some of the challenges with starting up a group like this, which is providing so much support and direction for people when they're needing it, when they're looking for information to support their children?
So I guess the challenge of starting, getting people together to form the group, I guess, that it's not a group without people there to support. So we knew that they were out there. The challenge was linking in with the right service providers to make sure that as people were coming to them for support, so if they were going to somebody as the first point of contact, that we wanted to make sure that they knew we existed as a referral source, I guess. So one of the challenges was just linking in with all of those different service providers. I think Georgia and I were talking before and saying there's this sort of a myth in South Australia that there's not much support. What we found is there's actually a lot of support. There's just they're not very well linked together at the moment. So a lot of people are working on changing that, which is great, and we're happy to be a part of that. But that's certainly one of the biggest challenges, just letting people know that we exist. We're getting there, we're growing, so that means we're doing the right thing.
There's a big push here at the moment to connecting those services and making sure that we're all cross-referring to each other and making the whole thing a bit more efficient and cohesive. And, yeah, that's something we're going to be working on in the new year.
So when you're running the services, what would you say the biggest challenge that parents of gender-diverse children actually face?
Oh, there's lots of challenges, isn't there? I think one is just having the ability to talk to other people who get it. I think a lot of people come from a place where they've got a great supportive environment, supportive family, supportive school. A lot of people don't have that. But even the ones that do, it's still the value in being able to have a discussion with somebody else who is living that with their child as well. And, I know at times I might want to talk to somebody about something and I'll stop myself because I think, oh, you know, they don't really get it. Or they, that, you know, I might not get the feedback that I need or that I'm looking for, the encouragement. So I think that's definitely something people are looking for. It was just that actual, you know, non-professional, just linking in with others. And definitely one of the challenges, the pathways, and that's something we talk about a lot, is pathways for getting support. It's where do we start? And that, the feedback varies. So many different people and different situations and different children need different support. So whether it's social, medical support at school, it's sort of ironing out those pathways, and that's something we're really passionate about working on.
One of the biggest responses I get from a parent when I first speak to them or meet them is a huge relief, because contrary to what a lot of people on social media seem to think, these are not necessarily typical rainbow families. These are often people who have had nothing to do with the LGBTIQ community, who've barely even heard of transgenderism, and who think that there's something perhaps wrong with what they're doing. And just knowing, meeting another person and realising that they're a normal, sane person, just like you, who has come out the other side of this, or I guess we're all not necessarily out the other side of anything at any point, we're all on a journey, but who has embraced it and the world hasn't collapsed. It's just so reassuring to them to realise that we're all just normal people, and that what they're experiencing is a normal part of human diversity. It's just something that most people haven't really heard of yet.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Now on The Informer, we're continuing our conversation with Sam and Georgia from Parents of Gender Diverse Children, South Australia.
We've had a recent law change saying that teenagers who realise that they're trans can have easier access to hormone therapy. How do you as parents feel about that?
I think as a parent, I'm really excited. I think because I really believe in the personalised level of care with when it comes to helping kids through this process. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. I think the more we learn, the more we understand that each person, young person, adult, has their own approach to their own identity. And I think previously when we were making children go through court, or making families, sorry, go through court to get the access to a hormone for their children, it was just a stressful and unnecessary process. And I think we know that. That's why it's been undone. So I think it's really exciting that we're moving towards that way. I think in South Australia we're going to be really conservative and we might not see the benefit of that as quickly as other states might. You know, hopefully I'm wrong, but we do tend to be a little bit more conservative. So I hope that our service providers do look to the other states and really look at what can be done here. So, but it, as you know, my child's actually really quite young, so I have a transgender son, and he's really quite young. So this is not something that we're looking at ourselves, you know, tomorrow, but it's really nice to know that when he gets to that age, you know, if he's been living his life the way he is and nobody's going to tell him, you know, okay, now you've got to go to court to prove who you are or to be able to access what you need. So I think it's fantastic.
We're at the other end. We have a 12-year-old daughter, almost 12-year-old daughter. So we're just so grateful that we've had these pioneers pave the way for us. She never had to go to court to look at puberty blockers. She'll never have to go to court to look at stage two treatment. And as Sam said, it's so completely inappropriate for it to be in the court system. This way we know that the decisions that are made based on what's best for her, not what looks best on paper, and they're made by professionals who actually know something about her body and about her needs.
It's interesting that you brought up the ages of your children, because one of the bigger arguments that you hear against providing any sort of hormone treatment or anything like that for young children is that they're too young to really know. But how young do you think kids do start to understand the concept of gender and their own understanding of their gender and maybe transgenderism?
Really important, first of all, to point out that most of the changes that are made for a transgender child, a younger transgender child, are only social changes. They make a huge difference to the child. That's not to be underestimated, but they don't actually make a difference to their body. They're not irreversible changes. And even puberty blockers are not irreversible changes. So it's only when you start to look at the cross hormones, stage two hormones, that we start to talk about irreversible changes. And yes, that becomes very important then, that all the professionals involved know that the child is capable of making those adult irreversible decisions. But Sam can probably speak more to the younger children about when they can actually know.
Yeah, in terms of age, I haven't done this research myself, but we know that children have a solid understanding, or begin to have a solid understanding of their gender identity from around, you know, they say around 2 to 3. So when you've got a child that's saying, you know, this is who I am, and it's not the gender they were assigned at birth, then I just don't know why we doubt their ability to know who they are than what we do over a cisgender child. So when I have that question, I start... just 5 when he transitioned through kindy, and you know, and had obviously a lot of kindy parents say to me, well, how do you know he's so young? And I would ask, well, how does your child know that they're a boy or a girl? You know, they just know. And we're not, like Georgia said, we're not making changes to his body, we're not doing anything, you know, drastic, and it's just allowing him to be who he is, express who he is, believing him for who he is now. He's not going to lose any portion of his life and look back and say, you know, I lived 15 years in an identity that wasn't mine because nobody believed me, or everybody said it wasn't right and I was too young to know. He'll just know that he just was who he was. And if he is, you know, there's somebody that grows up and change, and that changes for him, he'll never doubt that, you know, he was able to be who he was when he needed to be. So we just, our answer to that is, they're not too young. We listen to him today, who he needs to be today. We'll worry about tomorrow then.
Just as we listen to cisgender children,
we trust them
to know who they are.
What are some of the challenges you face being allies and being a part of our community, the LGBTIQ community, and integrating and advocating for your children in that space?
I think some of the
challenges may be online.
Yeah,
if you go into certain elements of social media, there is a lot of ugliness, there's a lot of abuse, We're often called pedophiles. We're told that we should have our children removed from us. And honestly, any new parent to this space, I just recommend that they don't go near those parts of the internet. I've found myself a little bit more there recently in trying to advocate and educate, but really a lot of the time there's not much point.
I think as a challenge, it just broadly, it can be quite tiring, but it's definitely rewarding. You often find opportunities to help people, to have a conversation and help spread awareness at the times you least expect it. It might be you're at a kid's birthday party and you know, mothers you don't know, they feel brave in numbers and they'll say, hey, we need to ask you. And they come out and you can see they enter that conversation. It's very guarded, like, you know, they might have had some conversations in the background, but then, you know, you've got that opportunity then and there to really speak out and just share your experience. And the amount of conversations I've had when I haven't expected it and been able to advocate and just be an ally in those situations has been incredible. And I think that's where a lot of the change occurs, because like Georgia mentioned, social media is horrible, and I think people just read blindly, and we see that all the time. People just jump in with their pitchforks because they read it. But when you have that opportunity to just have a conversation with somebody who you might not know very well, but you're looking them in the eyes, you're there, they know you, your family, you might go to their school, those conversations are huge. Also in, you know, you might take your child to the GP, and that's a really interesting experience. You know, very quickly goes from your child's got a broken arm, okay, what do their genitals look like? So it's really interesting, and it's challenging always being on guard and always having to dive in and have conversations and take the opportunity to, I don't know whether it's educate or just spread awareness. So that's tiring. And I think just back to your question around, you know, being part of that community now and as an advocate for your child, it can be tricky in that sometimes it's not lived experience on our front. We're there as a voice for our kids, so there can sometimes be a little bit of pushback there. But I think for the most part, it's positive. People know we're there to do the right thing and help spread awareness.
And that's definitely one of the most important things that allies can do, is do some of those really difficult conversations for us.
Yeah. Something that struck me that I read was that transgender people are often just find themselves being put in the spot of being Siri. They get asked very well-intended questions, but sometimes it's not necessarily appropriate to ask that of the actual person. So while it can be tiring for us as well, I'd much prefer to answer those questions and fend them off on behalf of the transgender person where I could.
And we appreciate it.
Well, I think your children are going to be very grateful for the fact that you both are doing so much work with this, and will many transgender young and old people within South Australia. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to talk to us today on The Informer. If there's anyone that would like to know more information about Parents of Gender Diverse Children South Australia, what's the best space for them to get in contact with you?
The website's pgdc.org.au, and there's an SA link, so each state has their own link on that website, but we do have an email address, which is info@pgdc.org.au, so either one.
Thank you both for taking the time to talk to us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.